1 Corinthians 10:16. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread. Observe Israel after the flesh. Are not those who eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What am I saying then? That an idol is anything, or what is offered to idols anything? Rather, that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and of the table of demons. Now, in the context, Paul has been teaching the Corinthian church the errors of the Israelites in that they worshiped false gods and they had all kinds of troubles with sacrifices. So he's reminding them about communion. Now, it's very clear and cannot be mistaken that the subject here is communion. And it has to do with the communion service as we know it, as he talks about the cup and the bread. And we have the bread and the cup. And we have what we call a communion service. Let's just review for a moment several views of this activity we call a communion service. First of all, there's the Roman Catholic view called transubstantiation, whereby when the priest has the wafer and says, "This is my body broken for you," it literally becomes the flesh and body of Christ. When the priest says, "This is my blood shed for you," it literally becomes the blood of Christ. We do not believe that. There is the Lutheran view called consubstantiation, where in the service, the Lord comes alongside. Con meaning with. We do not believe that. There are several other views, some known as spiritual. And what do we believe here in our church? We believe that the bread we eat and the juice we drink are symbols. Symbols of the broken body and the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that the value of what we do is by faith. There is no value in just the mere performance. The value is that we worship in remembering his death. We remember he did die. And that's the value. Now, let's think for a moment about the word, just the thought of communion. We could change it into communing. We commune with the Lord. And that word brings up the thought of relationship, communication, agreement. It is an experience with one another. We commune with the Lord. What a wonderful privilege. There is a benediction in 2 Corinthians 13:14 that says, "May the love of God the Father and the grace of God the Son and the communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." Now that's what should be occurring as we have communion. We have communion with the love of the Father, which is eternal. He has loved his people from eternity past. His love for us is unconditional. Sometimes at a communion service, people are badgered into not taking communion because they're not perfect. Don't let that happen. Your qualification to receive communion is by what he does and who he is. Now, there's really only one perfect person here this morning. Her name is Faye. So, she has no problem, the rest of us. Unconditional love. And the Father's love is unchangeable because he bears the attribute of immutability. The relationship cannot change because he cannot change. We have communion in his love. Then we have communion in the grace of God the Son. The riches of his grace. Just think of that. All that is included in salvation. The regeneration, the redemption, the reconciliation, the justification, the sanctification, the gift of eternal life, the forgiveness of sin, the removal of sin. Thank him this morning. That's communion in his grace. And we have communion with the Holy Spirit within us. He's our companion. He's our strengthener. He is our comforter. And we commune with him. Remember Father, Son, and Holy Spirit as you partake of communion this morning. Now I want to make four flat-out biblical statements about communion that Satan hates, and that too many in our nation hate. And so we are doing combat with those who hate this word. Number one, there is no communion apart from the Savior. It doesn't matter how we do it or whether we all take it whatever way. That doesn't matter. There is no communion apart from the Savior. Now, I have deliberately used the definite article, T-H-E, the Savior, not the indefinite article, a Savior. If you say a Savior, you've opened it up to 1,000 people. What we are saying is there is no communion apart from the Savior, one and only. You have no communion with the Lord through Muhammad, Mary Baker, Eddie Patterson Fry, Joseph Smith, or any other religion. Only through the appointed Savior, who is our Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter and John were arrested and commanded not to preach in his name, and Peter said, "There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." No other. And some people say, "Well, you Christians, you're so exclusive. Why don't you be tolerant like the rest of the country and just include everybody?" Well, you could look at it that way. But on the other hand, let's thank God that there is one way. And that one way works. If one road gets you to heaven, you don't need two. And if our Lord Jesus Christ is an adequate Savior, you don't need another. I just said, you don't need another. Oh, you're weak. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
We've got to be together. Preaching's like taking a trip. You start out together, you stay together, you finish together. Don't finish before I do. And saying amen to a preacher is like saying second to a dog. So let's amen. There is no communion apart from the Savior. Secondly, there is no communion apart from the cross. The Savior must sacrifice himself. And the way he died was on the cross. The Savior must go to the cross. There must be an atoning sacrifice for sin. Atonement means covering. When Noah built the ark, he pitched it within and without with pitch. And the pitch was a covering to make it waterproof. The atoning blood of Christ covers our sin. It's a covering. It also removes our sin. It's grace. There is no communion apart from the cross, the grace. One time there was in this family a older brother who went to school, a younger brother about 4 years old. One day the older brother brought home a chocolate teddy bear that he received at school. And he left in his room the next day, and the little boy, 4 years old, goes in to eat the chocolate teddy bear. And the mother comes in the room and nails him. I mean, he's caught. He is flat out caught. And he's full of chocolate all over her, and he begins to cry. And the mother said, "You're going to have to tell your older brother when he comes home from school." So the younger brother lives in torture, agony, waiting for that moment when his brother comes home. And finally it occurs, and the younger brother is absolutely sobbing. The younger brother, he tells the older brother what he's done. The older brother hugs him and said, "I love you now and always." The younger brother is trying to stop sobbing. And you know how that is with little children when they're trying to stop sobbing? It just tears your heart out. They're trying so hard, but they can't stop. They stop for a moment, and then it's all over again. And his tears break into a giggle. He's so happy. What has gone on? He has experienced the grace of forgiveness and the grace of love. And that comes from the atoning sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, on another occasion, there's a man who dies and he's going to heaven. And Gabriel meets him there. Now, this is a terrible illustration. Just awful. Because it just doesn't happen like this. There is no entrance exam getting into heaven. And there is no one there waiting to judge us to see if we're qualified. We are already qualified. And there is no waiting there at the gate for somebody to question us. But just for a matter of thinking about it, Gabriel said to the man, "Now, you'll have to have 100 points to get into heaven." And he starts to ask him questions. Man said, "Okay." Gabriel says, "Well, were you good to your wife and family?" "Oh, yeah." "That's 2 points. Did you go to church?" "Yeah, that's 1 point. Did you give an offering?" "Yeah, that's 2 points. Now he's really getting worried. 1 point, 2 points. Gabriel says, "Were you faithful in your community and did you live honestly?" "Yeah. 3 points. So the man is completely frustrated, and he knows he's never going to make it with points. And he says to Gabriel, "The only way I'll ever get to heaven is by the grace of God." Gabriel said, "Come on in." There is no communion apart from the cross. Thirdly, there is no communion apart from faith. It's the faith that God gives us and is the connecting point whereby we believe in Him. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God. There's no communion apart from the Savior. There is no communion apart from the cross. And there is no communion apart from faith in Him. Now then, communion is not only with the Lord, but it's with one another. We are members of one family. By faith in Christ, we are adopted into the family of God, and we are brothers and sisters. In Christ, we are one. And when you receive the bread and the juice this morning, don't forget the people around you. And as you're taking communion, commune with the Lord, but pray for those around you. They are brothers and sisters. And the reality is that the people who do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, they're not my brother. They are not our sister. We're not in the same family. In Christ, we are one and the same family. And the deal is, you have to love me. Yeah. You really do. You have to love me. And I have to love you. And may I say to you, I do. Willingly, lovingly, I love my brothers and sisters. And it's a growing love as we get to know each other. Now in 1 John, we read a very, very strong statement about this. John wrote, "We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren and the sister." Well, that's not a good way to say that, is it? We love the brothers and the sisters. And that is an evidence of salvation. All to commune with the Lord. To get alone with your Bible. Take a passage of Scripture. John 10. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish." When you sit down with a passage of Scripture, and you read and meditate and commune with the Lord, there's nothing like it. If that isn't happening in your life, you're missing out the great blessing of being a Christian, to commune with the Lord. And as you do, the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are a child of God. Romans 8:14. That's a wonderful, wonderful experience. I have that experience. And I can tell you it's happening right now, right with me. By being with you in the Word of God. And no one can take that from me. I can't explain it. It's a spiritual communion with the Lord, that He bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Glory to His name. We have the privilege now of taking the bread and taking the cup. You come forward and take it, return to your chair, and commune with the Lord. Talk to Him and pray to Him and thank Him and praise Him. And think of the people around you. And we'll have a glorious time of communion this morning. May it be a great time of reverence and worship like never before. Lord God, be pleased to bless our communion time to the honor and glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let it be so. And we all said,